content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Your mind, all right. You want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Jackie Schlegel. How's everybody doing?
We're here.
We're here. Mondays are tough. Oh my gosh.
We're here.
It's only like Monday.
Yeah, it's only Monday. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just going to be transparent right out of the gate. I went to bed at 6:45 this morning. I slept for a couple hours, and I am here. So,
but you look amazing.
Well, thank
for
you.
For the record.
Yeah, I don't even know how. I didn't. I blew out my hair like, I don't know. I guess Friday or Thursday was it? And then I just keep putting hair oil on it and fluffing it up. How's it look?
Amazing. Beautiful.
Whatever works.
Whatever works for you. But we've got a fantastic show today, that's for sure. We've got Miriam Kalamian. She's been on the show many times before. She is the author of the book, Keto for Cancer, Ketogenic Metabolic Therapy as a Targeted Nutritional Strategy. She's going to be talking about modifying the ketogenic diet. I can't wait to speak with her. She's really got an amazing story, too. One that's very inspirational, as do you, Jackie Schlegel, who is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. We may even take some calls today. If you want to call us about any vaccine injuries and tell your story.
Talk about it.
Yeah, talk about it.
I want feedback today.
Yeah, all right. So 214-787-1190. That's 214-787-1190. Or if you're too shy to call in, you could always...
Email us at info@oneliferadio.com.
There you go. So, I was preparing for today's show out of my library in my trunk of my Subaru. I love my Subaru. I really do. But it's so different from the car I drove before, but in such a good way. But I pulled out the book, Vaccines, Autoimmunity, and the Changing Nature of Childhood Illness by Dr. Thomas Cowan. He's been on the show a couple of times. And inside of it, I had this little article, which we have also discussed, about measles virus wipes out golf ball sized cancer tumor in 36 hours.
Wow.
You had not heard about that?
I've heard bits and pieces, but I haven't actually seen it. So,
yeah. So it was, wasn't it John Hopkins?
The Mayo Clinic.
Or the Mayo Clinic. Okay. And I knew it was one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And no, it's actual, it's factual, it's true. And it did happen. And so it does make you question a lot of things about, are we trading, are we weakening our autoimmune system to the point where we can't fight off cancer anymore?
Right.
And that's why there's such an increase in it, that and, you know, so many environmental things in our diet, and just, it's interesting. And when you start-
We should talk about it.
Yeah, we should, absolutely. Well, let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, something that we tend to shy away from, but I think these are all very valid questions and should be discussed publicly.
Yeah, well, you know, I bought a bunch of books yesterday, when I was at the Best Friends National Conference. I guess it was Saturday. Mm-hmm. I told you I'm a little green around the gill, so just cut me a little slack here this morning.
You're good.
I'll get through it. And
there were tons of books out there.
Oh, my gosh. I bought $343 worth of books.
Because and it all goes toward, a portion goes to Best Friends.
Yes.
Right?
One of my favorite things, honestly, about coming here is every time I come, you just have stacks and stacks of books and magazines and research papers, and you're constantly learning, and that mm-hmm. challenges me. I love it.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Sometimes I get a little too squirrely, though. I got too much stuff in front of me, but, you know, that's just the way I roll. So.
Yeah.
Just got to go with it. But one of the best books that I picked up was Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. This is an excellent book. I just got through the just a little bit of it. And then I was reading another book, which I don't have with me, about it was written by a doctor. It's called Mortal.
Oh.
And I'll look it up in my, I'll tell you what it is when I go, if I can pull my phone out and look at my Amazon. But
Being Mortal.
It's a really good book that a friend of mine, TJ, told me about. And I started reading that last night. It's about dying with dignity and grace. and the medical community and how difficult it is.
Subject.
Yeah, it is an interesting subject. I couldn't put it down, obviously, because I didn't go to sleep. But I was there was other issues mm-hmm. out there. But anyway, but I love the quote in the beginning, in the opening of this book, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. And I actually thought of you and myself when I read it. And in the opening, it says, for Jen, who has shaken my worldview off its axis three times, once with Interrupted, once with a trip to Ethiopia, and lastly, by teaching us all that a real leader speaks the truth even to her own detriment.
Yeah.
You know.
And that can be tough.
It can be tough because I had a friend tell me that she told me yesterday. She said, I think the fact that that's why I'm bringing it up because yeah. I'm being fully transparent. She said, I think the fact that you talk about vaccines is really hurting you, you know, as far as sponsorships and things like that. And I said, well, you know what? If that's the case,
so be it,
because I'm not changing course and I'm not going to not investigate and continue to educate myself and share what I know with the people that listen to the show. So,
wow. It's a fantastic opportunity for us to be here, regardless of whether you vaccinate or don't vaccinate, you're somewhere in between. We should continually have the discussion, and we're just so thankful to be here and go through the research and let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so many kids are injured now. And just to be clear, I did vaccinate my children, and I did it in such a way that did I. And so as did you. And you and
not
and
quite so, as informed as you were when you were making vaccine decisions.
It's so interesting. And the one person that informed me who was talking about this 25 years ago is Dr. Robert Mendelsohn. Mm-hmm. God bless his soul. You know, he passed away, I think maybe the year that my first daughter was born. And but he was brave. He had a national radio show. He was on television talking about this. And so now, why is this become a subject that is basically being treated very unfairly by the media?
We can't even question. If you say anything other than vaccines are good for all people all the time,
You're a nutcase.
You don't care about children. You don't care about society. You don't care about health. And that just couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah. And more and more people are getting themselves educated on it. As I've said before, I've even lost friends over this subject. And, you know, I don't have a side. My side is truth, whatever that truth is. So, but we're going to be talking about Texans for Vaccine Choice, an update as to what's going on. And you could tell your story again. And what was that story that we were talking about before we went live, Avi, about what side of the bed you sleep in or where you sleep in the bed?
Oh, yeah.
It
was a story from Twitter, and it just posed a question like, I guess a couple never chose a side of the bed. So that was the whole thing. Like, do you pick a side, the right, the left, the middle?
That's a weird. So I believe in separate beds. So, you know, I'm one of those weirdos.
Ooh,
yeah,
interesting.
I do. And I think it actually leads to a better sex life in many ways. And so, yeah. So do you have a side of the bed or did you?
Like,
I know you're not married
now. Yeah, I'm single. I take up the whole bed and, you know, occasionally a kid or an animal finds its way in.
Yeah, I take the side of the bed wherever Mick is not. Yeah. That's my dog that I've had for 16 years.
I'm a right side sleeper.
You're a right side of the bed sleeper. So
yeah,
I'm trying
and
to,
on my right side.
Right. And Diamond, I'm going to ask you, you and your husband, do you guys have a side that you are territorial about?
Yeah, I sleep on the left side. He sleeps on the right.
Left and the right. Have you ever switched it up? Like said, hey, I think I'll take the right tonight, honey.
If we go to a hotel or something, he always sleeps on the side that's closest to the door. And then I sleep on the opposite.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Is that
really
for safety precautions?
Is what?
Is that for safety precautions?
Yeah. Or if there's like a window or something, he'll sleep near the window and I'll sleep on the opposite side.
Oh my gosh. I was watching The Sheets last night. It's a series, and I started watching it with Vinny on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
And it's a family that was really, really, really filthy rich that lost everything. The IRS came in and like stripped them down. And so they moved. They just for a joke, when this man was very wealthy, he bought a whole town called Sheet. S-C-H-I-E-T-Z, like Sheets.
Mm-hmm.
Sheets.
Oh, Creek.
Sheets Creek.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's it. Okay, Sheets Creek. And in that, the girl, it was funny, you just made me think of it, because she was like, no, you're sleeping here, and I'm sleeping here, because her and her brother had to share a motel room.
I remember that episode.
You remember that episode? And he said, no, you're getting murdered first. No, you're getting murdered first. And anyway, it was kind of funny.
You know, here's the thing. I'm a special needs parent. I went for many, many years with no sleep whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I'm not picky. I walk in, I fall over. I'm so happy to sleep through the night at this stage in my life. Like, yeah. I don't, anywhere, any place, I'm not picky.
Yeah, I can. I used to be able to. Well, if you're tired enough, you can sleep anywhere. There's a famous picture of me sleeping on a whole bunch of bags of flour. 25 pounds. It's like 10 bags I think they were 50. They were 50-pound bags, and there was like 10 of them, and I was sound asleep, out cold on top of them in the early days of Pizza Patron. So, and it's National Wing Day, right? Oh, you have a call? Hello?
What?
Nope.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, someone's
got a caller.
All right.
Hello?
Hey, welcome to One Life Radio. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Erica, and I was calling in response to, wanted to talk about my children. One of them is vaccinated up to 15 months and the other one isn't. My son, the younger one who is not vaccinated, is healthy. I mean, so healthy. We never deal with like allergies, or he hasn't had an ear infection his entire life. And my older son, who is vaccinated, we're constantly dealing with like ear infections and sickness and cough and croup. And so I've definitely noticed a difference between my vaccinated son and then my non-vaccinated son.
Wow. Well, and I appreciate you calling. And I'm going to let Jackie Schlegel speak here, but I hear this on the street all the time.
All the time. It's constant. It comes up. And so from a scientific standpoint, do you have medical practitioners that support this? Do you have a good community? Or is this a challenge for you in your day-to-day life with your children? Do you find a lot of people question whether it's really valid?
Sometimes people question if it's valid, but people that are close to me, my friends and family, they see it themselves. Mm. I mean, they see that my four-year-old, we're constantly, you know, going to specialists, have to go to appointments. He's in multiple therapies. And then my three-year-old, who is the non-vaccinated one, people notice that he's always healthy, smiling, happy. You know, he hasn't even been to the doctor, I would say, within 2 years. I mean,
wow.
We try to stay away unless it's something, you know, really serious.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I really do. And I know there's so many more mothers out there that feel the same way. We actually have someone on our staff who has family members that are vaccinated and unvaccinated. And there is a profound difference between the children. Absolutely profound. We were talking about it the other day. But thank you so much for calling
in
and listening. We really appreciate it. It makes us feel a little validated in our conversation
here. It does. And we enjoy the different perspectives.
Absolutely. I want to hear from the haters, too.
Yeah.
But thank you so much, everyone. We have a fantastic show lined out for you. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Love this song.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, I
set
love
a good tone.
Diamond does such an amazing job in the booth in there with the music and keeps us all on track. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. And it is all right. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to have a positive show here today. And happy Monday, everyone. As I said, you're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Jackie Schlegel in studio with me and Miriam Kalamian on the line. She is a nutrition consultant, educator, author, and speaker specializing in the implementation of ketogenic therapy. She earned her master's in human nutrition from Eastern Michigan University and is board certified. Miriam is a leading voice in the keto movement, and her Her passion for keto comes directly from her personal experience with her young son, Rafi, who was diagnosed with a brain tumor and failing conventional therapies. Miriam is the author of the book Keto for Cancer, Ketogenic Metabolic Therapy as a Targeted Nutritional Strategy. And it's such an honor to have her back. You can find her at dietarytherapies.com. That's dietarytherapies.com. Welcome back, Miriam. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's always wonderful to talk with you and to know about this is getting out to people. It's always a little unsettling as well.
Yeah.
But because I want to get it right.
Yeah. No. I feel the exact same way, and I'm always honored to have you on the show. You as are one of the leaders in this ketogenic movement. So let's talk about this. You know, let's tell our listeners how you personally became familiar with the ketogenic diet for cancer.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned my son Rafi, and he was 4 years old when we learned he had a brain tumor, and that was in 2004. And we went ahead with what we were told was the best convention. Didn't realize it was conventional, but it was the standard of care, the gold standard protocol for his cancer. It was 54 treatments over 14 months with chemotherapy.
Wow.
So it was almost weekly chemotherapy.
Wow.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, only chemotherapy or chemotherapy and radiation as well?
No, he just had the chemotherapy to start.
Okay.
That's the standard for his tumor. It was inoperable, size of an orange, so they couldn't go after it surgically either. So we did that, and it didn't stop the growth of the tumor. There was explosive growth as soon as they stopped the chemo. So the chemo had been holding it in check but not reversing anything. And so then we moved to another chemotherapy, failed that, and then we found ourselves facing a surgery that we really shouldn't have had to consider. But we did. You know, it was life-threatening, but we got through it in pretty decent shape. But it didn't stop the tumor. As a matter of fact, one area regrew in 8 weeks. So we put him through all of that with tumor regrowing and 25% larger within 8 weeks. So clinical trial failed that, and as he was failing that, I was looking up a drug online and looking for the side effects of that drug. It was pretty nasty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I found Dr. Seyfried's research on the, he had just published it. If I had been looking on any other day, I wouldn't have found it.
Wow.
And he had just published this on calorically restricted ketogenic diet in a mouse model of an aggressive brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mouse model, you know, we've been trained not to, you know, to think of mice as, of course, they're different from people, but I didn't really have anything else to look forward to. They were moving Rafi to palliative care. He was only 7 years old at the time.
Yeah, I'm looking at his sweet little picture right now. What a beautiful boy he was. And he died April 17th, 2013.
8 years.
Eight years.
And a half years after. We started there.
You know what's crazy is we've been on the air 8 years. Next week, August the 9th, will be 8 years that we've been on the air. Yeah. And the ketogenic diet was one of the first things that we talked about. Thomas Seyfried, he's a PhD, and wrote the foreword in your book, was actually on the show a couple of different times back years ago when we first began this. And then Sean Wells, Dom DiAgostino, all these experts in this field that have really helped to educate and push this movement because there are so many therapeutic benefits of this. So, you know, And so I'm just going to ask this question. What do you see as the ideal ketogenic diet when used to fight cancer?
I'll tell you. I have a lot more opinions now than I did even when I finished the book. But because things change. This is rapidly moving, Bernadette.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the ideal candidate is somebody who's carrying some extra weight. And then if their general health checks out and there's, you know, no contraindications, things that they shouldn't consider keto for, then to get in with a rigorous ketogenic diet. And once they have passed the transition there, once they've gotten over the keto flu and are feeling more in a groove, then move to a water-only fast. A lot of people do the fast right straight off, and they have no idea of what the diet is going to look like when they finish, and they undo all the good effort they put into the fast. Plus, if you fast before you're ketogenic, you are going to lose more muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I've become much more concerned about over the last couple of years because I'm seeing so much more of it. As people learn about the diet, they're coming to it, but quite often they're coming to it at the end of their, you know, their conventional care, they're told there's no other options. Somebody finally finds ketogenic diet. Mm-hmm. That's not a good time to start the diet. It's really not.
Well, you know, I also, we talked about it with Sean Wells and Don DiAgostino last week about, you know, migraines in ketogenic diet and epilepsy in the ketogenic diet. I recommended it to a dear old friend of mine who has a 2-year-old daughter who's suffering from epilepsy. I'm not sure if they've, you know, looked into it yet, but it is incredibly healing for the brain. In fact, Don DiAgostino stated on the show last week that it's absolutely curative for epilepsy and that it can heal the brain.
Yeah, and you know, that was something we saw with Rafi because his little brain was very, very damaged. And we did put him on the diet as it was set up for children with epilepsy. We wanted to be very careful of how we did this because we were sort of in uncharted waters there with, you know, nobody helping us out, really, just mm-hmm. finding some information from the Charlie Foundation and a book that Johns Hopkins had put out. But, yeah, we saw his vision improve. He was blind in one eye and visually impaired, field cut in the other eye from the location of the tumor.
Wow.
So we had some improvements as the tumor quieted down and shrank back from the margins. There was improvement in vision, improvement in endocrine function. Just, you know, just seeing our little boy come back and be able to function so much better, his quality of life was so much better. And that's one of the things I really feel so strongly about and why I can get so upset, angry, I guess, mm-hmm. With conventional medicine is that they toss out the baby with the bathwater, so they don't believe that the evidence is strong enough to mm-hmm. use a ketogenic diet for cancer. But as one doctor at Cedars-Sinai, who's doing a trial, ketogenic diet along with GBM, what he told me back this past winter was he had expected to see some you know, differences in terms of the impact mm-hmm. on cancer, on the brain cancer, but what he hadn't expected was just enormous improvement in quality of life.
Wow.
And, you know, that's where I come from with this for brain cancer, but what we're seeing is when you combine ketogenic diet plus Care Oncology. Bernadette, I don't know if you or your listeners are aware of Care Oncology, but that would be a topic for another day. For
absolutely,
sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Repurposed drugs being used alongside keto diet in brain cancer, and wow, am I seeing, you know, I'm seeing my clients so much further out from their diagnosis than what had been predicted.
Wow. You know, I was reading that book, Being Immortal, I believe is the name of it. I started reading it last night. And doggone it, I can't remember the name of the author right now. I don't have it in front of me. Typically, I carry all the recent books that I'm reading with me. But it's an excellent book. And it's written by a doctor. And it's written about, you know, the process of death and how we can make it so much easier. Oh, it's Atul Gawande mm-hmm. is his name. And it's an incredible book. But, you know, death is not easy. It's the most difficult thing that all of us yeah. go through. And if there's any way to make it easier or prolong life, we need to look at that science. We need to look at that evidence.
Exactly. Instead of just dismissing it out of hand because these conventional oncologists don't know anything about nutrition,
mm-hmm.
and they're expressing what people have to understand, their patients have to understand, is they're expressing an opinion. They're not expressing scientific fact. They're not sharing scientific fact with you. Especially, and I see there's such a, you know, there's such a dichotomy. So they will diss the diet, keto diet, for ridiculous reasons, like it's too high in protein,
mm-hmm.
which we know ketogenic is not high in protein, or mm-hmm. it wouldn't be ketogenic.
Yeah.
So, it's too high in protein. And then in the next breath, they'll suggest a diet that is like plant-based, with absolutely no evidence that it's going to do anything. Is it going to give anybody 1 minute more of life or, you know, even a half a day of better quality of life? Absolutely no evidence for that. So, you know, that's part of my frustration as well, Bernadette, is dissing of the diet through opinion and saying, well, it's not enough science to support it, and then throwing out this thing about plant-based diets. And I'll tell you, it is very hard to be ketogenic on a plant-based diet. You may get enough protein numbers, gram numbers on paper, mm-hmm. but you are not getting enough essential amino acids mm-hmm. unless you are very much on top of this, carefully monitoring it. And then you've got that problem of things like phytates interfering with the absorption. Mm-hmm. You know, they bind and interfere with the absorption of nutrients. So that's one of the big problems that I see with people coming from plant-based. They may be getting enough in terms of, they may be getting 48 grams or 62 grams or whatever of protein a day, mm-hmm. but some of it is pretty low-quality stuff that is not going to benefit their bodies, whereas yeah. the animal protein, and we're not talking excessive amounts, but animal protein mm-hmm. is so much more accessible for
so many people. You know, when you were speaking, I was thinking of my dear friend, God bless her soul. She passed away about 2.5 years ago, Inesta Carlo. I took all of our listeners through the process as she fought cancer, ovarian cancer. Anyway, I remember when she came back from MD Anderson early on in her diagnosis. I guess it was like mid-diagnosis because she lasted about 4 years, which is typical. But, you know, I tried to convince her to get on the ketogenic diet. And, you know, this was, you know, a couple of years ago, there weren't as many products as there are now. Right. It wasn't as easily facilitated, you know, especially when you're struggling to survive. The whole family was very distraught. But I'll never forget when she came from MD Anderson and she told me what the very cavalier doctor said to her, you can eat whatever you want because it's not going to make a difference. You will be dead in a year. And I wanted to drive to Houston and wring his ever-loving neck for saying those words to my friend.
There's a lot of people out there doing good work, but those types of oncologists are just, you know, we need to phase them out and bring in some of these you know, thinkers, these people who can critically think and see the benefit, will take the time to become more educated about this. You know, Memorial Sloan Kettering, they've got a trial going for endometriosis. Ketogenic mm-hmm. diet. Cedars-Sinai in California, as I mentioned that one. Ketogenic diet, brain cancer. There's a couple of others out there. There's one for children, so that's near and dear to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
Plus Children's Center. Children's Hospital in Miami. It's going to turn, and but it's coming more from the people. It's coming more mm-hmm. from with this bottom-up movement of people.
And coming from mothers, can I just say, your passion is just so, that's what I hear, is a mother's love. Wow, you've really done amazing work.
Yeah, that was Jackie Schlegel. But Miriam, any other final thoughts that you want to close the show with?
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid of keto. You give it a try. You do it as tightly as you can for the first couple of months. That's where the biggest impact is on the progression of cancer. But be prepared to modify. Be prepared to back down, to relax it a little. Always testing to see what foods are doing to your blood glucose and also to your blood ketone levels with this. So diet modifications. Older people need to get enough protein. I don't think I emphasize that enough in mm-hmm. my book. It doesn't seem to have hit home for people.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to have you back. It's been too long. And
thank you.
It's been such a pleasure. Miriam Kalamian, she is the author of the book, Keto for Cancer, Ketogenic Metabolic Therapy as a Targeted Nutritional Strategy. And thank you so much. I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thanks again for this opportunity.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show continuing on with Jackie Schlegel, Texans for Vaccine Choice Update. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Song.
I got my gosh. Yeah, you're better off with not a lot, a whole lot of money and a big fine car. Trust me on that one. Yeah, I was happier when I was young and poor. And I recently got rid of my fancy car, and I love my little Subaru. So life is simpler. When life is simpler, it's better. I'll just tell you that.
I agree with that.
But welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Badiantos. I've got Jackie Schlegel in studio with me. She is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice. When legislators are led astray and propose poorly written bills that will take away vaccine choice and parental rights, Jackie Schlegel is there to fight them, step up to the plate and say, no, not on my watch. In 4 years, Jackie took a group of just a bunch of moms and turned it into the epitome of grassroots activism. That fledgling group of 20 is now a political action committee of over 20,000 followers, as well as several thousands of members who proudly call themselves Texans for Vaccine Choice. Her unshakable dedication inspires all members to have laser focus on one goal and one goal only, to maintain vaccine choice in the great state of Texas. To find out more, you can go to texansforvaccinechoice.com. We have a caller on the line. Jeremiah is calling in to ask us a question. So welcome and thank you for listening, Jeremiah. What's your question today?
Okay, well, it's not really a question. Jackie's a friend of mine on Facebook, and she just asked a couple of us if we could tune in and maybe give our thoughts on the benefits or vaccines, or, you know, no benefits. So maybe she could start off the question for me.
Okay, so do you have vaccine injury in your family, or why is this important to you?
Yes, I do. My youngest child was vaccine injured. At her 6 month vaccine, she was a perfectly healthy baby. Sister got her vaccinated, and she began head banging and eyes crossing within 24 hours.
And did your pediatrician acknowledge that?
No, I didn't even go back because I already knew. I didn't want nothing to do with doctors after that point. And we went the all-natural way. We detoxed her, and she's perfectly healthy now.
Wow. How old is she now?
She's 5 years old.
She's five and healthy.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Well, that's a good ending to the
it
story
really
because
is,
I was going to
all too
say,
often it's
I,
not.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And I appreciate you listening and I appreciate you calling in. So let's continue talking about this. You know, we always love having you in studio, Jackie. Could you give our listeners a recap of what happened to your family?
Absolutely. You know, a couple days ago when I was here in studio, I very quickly did a live video on Facebook and I said, I have a confession. And that confession was I was a very judgmental pro-vaccine parent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have admitted that at the time, mm-hmm. but I'll never forget sitting there with my newborn daughter and coming across this mom who was putting a bug in my ear about vaccines and how she was choosing a different route for her son. And I'll be honest, I was pretty judgmental. I mm-hmm. held my baby a little bit closer and thought to myself, you know, why would anybody not want to vaccinate? Why would you not want, I was vaccinated, we're all vaccinated, and why would you not want to prevent what's preventable, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I was vaccinated and you were vaccinated, but the vaccines
that
we received, first of all, yes. I think I received maybe 5 or 10,
yeah.
unlike the how many through birth to teenage years now, they're trying to...
In the 70s, yeah, 74
whatever
doses.
It was, right. And so yeah. now it's a lot of vaccines.
Yes. Yes, it is a lot of vaccines. And I look back at that stage in my life and it's like, wow, how did I not question? Because I question everything now. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even give any thought to it. And then it happened to my daughter. Mm-hmm. 9 vaccines, one day, 15 minutes, seizures. And it took us a while to put all of the pieces together, but mm-hmm. it's in our medical records. It's right there. They acknowledge she had an injury. And you know, but I don't know if anybody's really acknowledging the widespread. I mean, this is an epidemic. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a thousand times, and the stories are over and over.
And a lot of parents don't report it. Like my friend.
I didn't report it.
My friend Adrian, you know, his daughter, and it was 4 months old too.
Yes.
At her 4 month shot, she received with 8 or 9 at 2 months and 8 or 9 at 4 months. After the 4 month visit, that's when she started having multiple seizures.
Yes. And I reported to my doctor, but they did not report it statistically as far as the vaccine adverse reporting system.
Right. Well, Del Bigtree
existed.
Del Bigtree addresses that over and over again when he speaks across the nation and worldwide, actually, about how it does go so underreported because people don't even know that you can report it.
You know,
you trust your doctor, you listen to your doctor, and just kind of go with it.
And this is across the board, not just with vaccines, but with a medication. You take your child into the doctor. They recommend, even a dentist, recommend a procedure. You need to be informed on that procedure and the potential side effects, not only so you can report it, but if you leave and you experience an adverse reaction, you want to know what you're looking for and how to identify it.
Right.
And you want to make sure you can report accurately back to your physician and your care provider.
Well, a lot of people don't have the time to do that kind of investigative work. They rely on the media. They rely on their doctors to be truthful with them.
And that's the problem is, you know, we have this epidemic of sick children. It is no longer, we are obligated. We can no longer sit on the sidelines and think somebody else is going to do it for us. Our future generations are depending on us to be informed. We get hammered a lot in the media for being anti-vaccine. This is the truth. The truth of the matter is, if you are informed and you can say, I am not here to involve myself in the doctor-patient relationship. I'm here to encourage you to be a parent, be a self-advocate, stand up, you know, learn the truth and then make the decision for yourself.
Well, I mean, I've always kind of gone with this. My dad used to say all kinds of things. And one of them where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of smoke.
Yes.
There's a lot of smoke and there's a lot of smoky books being written, you know, about all this.
And Texans for Vaccine Choice is a parental rights organization. We've always stood on that. We're here to support parents in their decisions or individuals in their decisions.
Yeah.
But this is something that across my work, all across Texas, I could not deny any longer. It wasn't just my daughter's story. It wasn't just the vaccine injured stories. What it was I start coming across these really happy, healthy families who didn't vaccinate. And I'm like, why aren't we talking about this? You know, the researchers keep saying that they can't study this because it would be unethical, right? They can't ask people not to vaccinate. There are thousands of families who have chosen not to vaccinate or done delayed schedules or opted out. They are perfect candidates for this type of study. They need to do the research and they need to show us the health outcomes of vaccinated, unvaccinated, and everything in between. Our families deserve that.
Well, we're going to talk more about it. It's always great to have Jackie Schlegel in studio with all her passion and knowledge. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
I love it. I'm dancing.
I wish y'all could have seen Jackie start dancing when her headphones came on.
This is like Rally right here. Remember Rally South Stairs at the Capitol? Like, it just got me fired up.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever spoke publicly, like, live in front of an audience. I was scared out of my mind, but it was a thrill as well.
And that's how I felt coming on the radio for the first time, just, like,
isn't
terrified. We both have pushed each other.
We pushed each other over the edge.
We have.
But everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Jackie Schlegel, and Aviana Barrientos. Jackie Schlegel is the executive director for Texans for Vaccine Choice, and we're talking about that today. We're doing an update. And, you know, one of the things that I think that people really I don't know if I want to say forget or they don't really think of is how when you have an injured child, whether it be mental illness, whether it be vaccine injured or cancer, like Miriam Kelamy and having a 4-year-old son with a brain tumor, is the effect that it has on a family. You know, the effect that it has on a family and what it does to that entire family and every area of their life. So I'm going to ask you personally. Ooh, you've been through it. You've got a daughter in a facility right now. I have two other friends that their children were vaccine injured and now are 18, 19, 20 years old that are, and those two are male, yours is a daughter, that are uncontrollable.
Yeah.
And they're even having to educate police departments about how to handle vaccine injured children that are like out to dinner at Denny's with their family or whatever. But it is financially devastating
to
a family.
It is devastating. All around. I mean, financially, emotionally. I want to, in particular, you know, we call these moms are so strong and they are out there fighting the school districts, educating their communities, fighting with the Medicaid system, fighting for appropriate long-term housing.
Fighting just to be listened to.
Just to be listened to, despite just sleepless nights and food allergies and health conditions and hospitals. I mean, truly, these moms are heroes. But another population that I just feel is so dismissed and so disregarded are these siblings and the trauma that they experience. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, with my own children, it wasn't until we separated the children and they started to heal that I had full appreciation for not only what they sacrificed, but the legitimate trauma that they have been through.
Everyone
and
suffers.
What terrifies me is for my children, I feel like I've just been given such a gift with them to be able to spend this time, to get to know them, to pour into their lives. For makeup, for so many years, we were robbed. But it concerns me that not only do we have this entire generation of children that's been harmed, but their siblings are not going to be mentally and emotionally healthy enough to care for them. And I know that's a terrible burden, but somebody long term is going to have to step up and make sure that these kids, you know, aren't abused, aren't neglected, that they have housing, that they have long term care. So this really is an incredible epidemic that
it's
goes
a huge problem in this country.
Huge problem.
And it's just begun for us to see, you know, the ripple effects of this.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people ask me if it's just vaccines. No, I don't think it's just vaccines. Clearly, that's what I'm focused on. But that's why what you're doing here on this show is so important, because this is about healthy, sustainable living. This is about creating a future that is ready to take the reins from us. And we have not prepared them. We have not set them up for that.
Yeah, there's so much destruction done to our environment by big agriculture and so many children, big pharma. Yeah. I mean,
we got to get back to the basics.
Oh,
we really, really do. And I think that's what parents of vaccine-injured children are really holding on to, is getting back to the basics of life. But we've got to stop the hemorrhaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you're always back and forth from the Texas State Capitol. What's the latest update regarding legislation?
You know, legislation, it's for this session, it's done, it's over with. But there's so much more preparing in Texas. We don't go back for another year and a half. We have a legislative cycle every 2 years. Mm-hmm. But there's so much work to be done. Mm-hmm. And right now, we are dealing with a lot of the back to school, families wanting to know their rights. So you can go to texansforvaccinechoice.com/exemptions. Mm-hmm. And we provided everything you need to know to send your kids back to school with their exemption form. Or, you know, maybe you want to opt out of one vaccine, but not all of them, and you have questions about that, mm-hmm. you can go to our website and get that information. But we're staying really busy right now mm-hmm. just preparing families for back to school, amongst many other advocacy and educational opportunities in the state.
Absolutely. And if you've got a child that's a teenager that's facing the HPV vaccine, I encourage you to read Mary Holland's book, The HPV Vaccine on Trial, and get yourself educated. It's
and
very, very important.
That's not required for school.
It is not required, but they put the pressure. Oh, you, and they even do commercials on ads on television, you know, and belittling and shaming parents into thinking, oh, you want to give your child
so the
cancer?
The tactic in, this is what they do. The actual tactic that they teach medical professionals is to sandwich that vaccine in between two that are quote unquote required for school. Mm-hmm. And that way parents don't question.
Wow.
So this is actually on record, them publicly, well, I don't know if they intended to be public, but this is how they train medical mm-hmm. practitioners to get the uptake of that vaccine mm-hmm. is to just put it in the school vaccine so a parent doesn't question.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely ask which vaccines they are giving and are they required for school.
Mm-hmm.
And also know your exemption rights if you choose to opt out.
Well, and based on what I've read, not only is it ineffective, it's very damaging and it can cause a lifelong harm and even death.
We do not track that data. However, by nature, people reach out to us a lot and share mm-hmm. their stories. And this vaccine in particular is one that just makes me cringe because so many happy, healthy teenagers have been injured. And mm-hmm. it's just devastating mm-hmm. and heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, the way to prevent HPV is to get your annual pap smear or know a lot more about it, that it can actually heal on its own. It's not uncommon.
Get informed.
And so what's your best advice for parents trying to do their own research regarding immunizations?
Well, you know, first of all, there's some search engines out there that actually provide more accurate information than others.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage you to get informed on that in and of itself. But go to the internet, talk to other families, talk to your practitioner about it. A lot of times the CDC, they have good information out there. You just have to go through the actual studies and not just rely on the recommendations or the conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
You have to actually dive into what the study really truly says.
Mm-hmm.
But get out in the community, talk to other families, and just don't be dismissive. Have an open mind.
And read, Forrest. Read.
There's get to a library, you know, get books, listen to Audible, but fill yourself with knowledge and ask the questions. Ask a lot of questions.
Ask the questions. All right. Jackie Schlegel, always a pleasure. Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing it. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.